the stragglers on their property line. I doubted the elites who brought us here would put up much of a fight before they retreated, if they hadn't done so already. Either way, they damn sure weren't going to die to keep us safe. That meant the wall would be back up to snuff sooner rather than later. And if we didn't get through it before then, we'd have to create another diversion and put ourselves at risk all over again. Jill didn't seem to mind the forward nature of my command, though. She grabbed my extended hand and stood. Annabelle, grappling package off. My feet went back to normal, and I gripped my pulse laser tighter. Hopefully I wouldn't have to use this, but given where we were and what we were stepping into, it was definitely better for me to have it at the ready, even if I was pretty sure the beams would still bounce off the elite's armor. Scan the area and get me the safest and most direct path to the heart of the city. I motioned for the squad to follow me as we crossed toward the break in the wall. When you have it, deliver it to the Artemis squad, I finished.
Affirmative, Lieutenant Ryder, she said.
As the pathway appeared before me, I dropped to my hands and knees and crawled through the space between bugs. Since I was bigger, the girls didn't need to follow my path. They lithely scooted through other gaps in the line. By the time I made it through, Jill was offering me a helping hand up. Thanks, I whispered. It was strange. I knew the bugs wouldn't have been able to hear me regardless of how loud I spoke. Still, there was something about their proximity that made me want to do everything gingerly, including speak.
You're welcome,
Jill said, her cheeks flushing slightly. Annabelle's path into the city showed an almost direct line to a rounded room in the center, save for two turns. There was a right at what looked like a gate, and a left a few feet away from the entrance of the rounded room at what appeared to be an energy wall of some kind. Everybody got that? I asked when Annabelle informed me the path had been delivered to the others. They nodded, and we hustled into the city. I had never really been in an Akbarian city when I wasn't running for my life or actively trying to blow up buildings. As far as I knew, no one had. I was glad my suit was recording all of this. Who knew what sort of valuable information we might gather? Also of note, unlike the language spoken by the queen who sent us here and her people, these bugs spoke an Akbarian tongue common enough for Annabelle to be able to decipher it. I heard two bugs talk about the trespassers at the landlines, saying that the false Queen Anya must be getting desperate. I made a note of the name of the queen who sent us here. Thankful our suits were back on and recording all of this. She might have stopped our suits from gathering intel when we were in her lair, but she either didn't take into consideration what her rival would say or didn't care. Admittedly, part of me thought it might be the second one. She'd seemed that kind of arrogant. Taking a quick right at the locked gate, I saw another set of bugs speaking of a hatching day celebration set for next week. It was a common, almost human conversation, and I tried to ignore it. I couldn't allow myself to think of them as common, as human. It wouldn't help me do what I needed to do. They all needed to be monsters. True or false, thinking of them that way was the only way I could do my job. As we neared the left I needed to take, I saw the rounded room. It was bigger than I'd imagined, given what it looked like on the map. The roof looked different, too. It was comprised almost entirely of energy, which was strange because the rest of the buildings had solid roofs. Looking at it was a problem, too, because as I made the turn, I saw the energy well jutted out much further than expected. I pulled myself to the right quickly, feeling the heat of the energy on my face. Be careful, I said to the squad behind me. The turn is drastic. Be careful, or you'll slam right into— I heard a yelp behind me, and my heart dropped. Spinning around, I looked back and saw Mina and Claire standing there. Where was Jill? Mina was just starting to turn around as I pushed past them and rushed back around the corner. Jill was on the ground, messy purple hair and open unseeing eyes. She was on her back, having slammed into the wall and caught the worst of it. Annabelle, I said, run diagnostic scan.
On it, she answered.
Her suit is starting resuscitation procedures. Resuscitation,
I asked, my eyes narrowing. That means her heart has stopped.
Affirmative,
Annabelle answered. Which means that, for the moment, she's dead. I swallowed hard. Which means that... A pair of bugs rounded the corner casually. They looked up at me and, God help me, they saw her. Jill was dead, and that meant her cloaking was as well. My jaw tightened in horror. Oh, no. 35. My throat tightened as I went over my options. Jill was dead. Her heart had stopped beating, which meant her cloaking was gone, leaving her a sitting or lying duck for the bugs who had just found her. Protocol dictated that the suit was to immediately send all the intelligence the wearer had collected to the Alliance halls. Though the suit was sending a standard-issue defibrillator into action, the Alliance was hard-nosed about the intel. Information was the most valuable of all assets, more valuable than even the metal. The Alliance would be even keener to get this information, seeing as how they knew nothing about this city or this moon in general. There was little mystery as to why the cloaking protecting Jill had vanished so quickly. All the suit's energy, aside from that running the defibrillator, was being used to get the information Jill had compiled to our Alliance overlords in the blink of an eye. That left me with a few options. Either I did what protocol dictated and left Jill to the bugs and her undoubtedly horrible fate at their hands, or I could say hell with the protocol and fight. That had its own set of issues, though. While it was true that going apeshit on these bugs and beating them back from Jill's body wouldn't afford them the ability to see me, there was no guarantee they would give the defibrillator enough time to work, if it was going to work at all. More bugs would come. I knew that like I knew my middle name, which was Clarence, though I'd rather have been skinned alive and laid next to Jill on the ground than admit it. A loud screech emitted from one of the bugs, a sound Annabelle deciphered as a distress signal. It was all happening, happening right now. In seconds, it would be too late. I wouldn't be able to act at all. I needed to make a move, to either protect Jill for long enough to hopefully bring her back to life, or to leave her on her own and head to the round room, sitting just steps away.
Mark,
I heard Mina behind me, her voice worried but still solvent enough for me to know she hadn't caught sight of Jill on the ground yet. That changed quickly.
God in heaven,
she shrieked as she took in all that had happened.
She's dead?
No, I answered quickly, though it was a lie. Her defibrillator is charging. Annabelle, what's the percentage chance of her coming back?
46%,
Annabelle answered. I blinked, looking at Mina defeated. She glared at me expectantly. Almost half, I said, realizing that she'd be able to ask her own suit if she thought I was lying to her.
They're coming,
Claire said, moving beside me. Her eyes weren't on Jill. Instead, they were trained on the alley we'd just come down, inches away from the flickering energy wall.
Dozens and dozens of them.
My heart dropped as I looked up. I mean, she was one girl, and she was, for all intents and purposes, dead as a fish on dry land. Why the hell do they need to bring so many bugs to subdue her? She was already subdued. Get to the rounded room, I said, looking back at Mina and Claire, my heart racing. I'd made my decision. The medal might have been more important to the Alliance than the life of one of its Marines, but I didn't share that philosophy. Sure, I could be court-martialed for this if I survived it, but at least I would go through that indignity knowing I did everything I could to save the life of one of the bravest and most capable women I had ever known. I'll fight them off. Annabelle, how long until the defibrillator is powered enough to shock her back to life?
20 seconds,
my suit answered. Though I must remind you, there is no guarantee her heart will ever start pumping again. Technology may be consistent, but your human bodies are definitely not. Think happy thoughts, I said, sensing an air of superiority in Annabelle's words.
No,
Claire said, stepping in front of me and pulling out her fire whip.
I've got this.
What are you doing? I asked, narrowing my eyes at her.
My job,
she said as the horde of bugs moved toward us. It was clear they only saw Jill, only a harmless, unconscious woman on the ground. If they had seen the rest of us, standing there and waiting for an attack, they'd have moved a lot faster and with a lot more initial force.
This is a horde, Claire, Nina said to her underling. And it's not practice. You could die. You probably will. How many times do I have to tell you not to treat me like a child? She asked, her eyes trained on the enemies ahead. I know what I'm up against, and I know what my chances are. I also know that we have a mission that needs to be accomplished. If the shit hit the fan out here, I can only imagine what's waiting for whoever goes into that rounded room. That's the heart of the city. Obviously the most dangerous place. I can't think of any two people I'd rather have in the most dangerous place on this whole fucking moon than the two of you. If we're going to win this, it'll be with Mark Ryder and Mina John at the helm, dammit. She shook her head. Jill will be awake in a minute. I just know it. She'll help me fight these bastards off, but until then, I'm an invisible chick with a badass whip and a lot of anger issues. Her eyes cut over to me. This should be fun. Without another word, Claire rushed toward the unsuspecting horde, whip cracking as she brought it down on one of them. The arc of white, hot, magnetically guided wires ripped the poor bastard in half, and as its superheated chunks hit the ground, I turned toward Mina. You heard her, I said, moving forward. We've got a job to do. She nodded once before following me through the empty alley. Thankfully, since all the bugs had been drawn to Jill, we didn't meet any resistance on our way to the heart. Mina and I rounded the exterior of the room almost completely before we found a tiny door with a circular lock. Two pinhole indentations, with another two on either side of the circle, and I knew what it meant. Fucking claw markings, I said, looking over at Mina. Undoubtedly, she had heard of these too. Back in the day, when we first started fighting back against the bug menace, they took to locking their most sensitive areas with locks that could only be opened by the claws of a certain type of bug. Claws I didn't have. Stand back, Mina said, pushing me backward. She pulled a bobby pin from her hair, broke it in two, and took either piece to the holes. You're being ridiculous, I scoffed. That's stupid. It's never going to— Of course, the door twisted and opened, making a fool of me. We were in, though, and that made all the difference. I'd rather be a successful fool than a defeated man of logic any day. Still, I didn't have to like it. You're going to tell everybody at the Alliance about this, aren't you? I asked, eyeing her as he walked through the door. Only if we survive, she smirked. So look on the bright side. Probably not.
I sprang into the room, my pulse laser ready for anything, and found absolutely nothing. The rounded room was completely empty. It was nothing more than old cobblestone walls marked with symbols I didn't understand, and a floor of soft sand looking up into the open-air room.
What the hell is this? Mina asked, her own gun in hand. We could be helping Claire right now. Where the fuck is the Elebrium?
I don't know, I said, moving toward the wall and the etchings on them. Like the spoken words these bugs were using, the printed dialogue was in a language Annabelle could translate. She did so as I looked it over. This is a throne room, I muttered. It says for us to kneel in the presence of the Great Queen. I shook my head as the word transformed in my line of sight. No, not great. Massive. Kneel in the presence of the massive queen. Mean looked over at me, her laser at the ready.
If she's so massive, then where the hell is she?
I have no idea, I admitted. But, and just like that, the ground started to give way, the soft dirt collapsing into a sinkhole beneath our feet. Reading my situation and my neurological impulse, Annabelle turned my thrusters on and lifted me from the ground. I twirled, grabbing Mina's hand.
I wouldn't be able to carry her. The suits weren't made for that. But I was still able to toss her clear through the still open door. She landed hard against the solid ground outside and, looking at her as I heard horrible noises of crunching and crashing behind me, I saw her face go white and her eyes go wide. The great Mina John was afraid right down to the bone. But what on this or any other planet would be enough to do that? I turned to find the answer, but wasn't prepared for what I saw. There, as tall as any building back on Earth, was the largest fucking praying mantis I had ever seen in my life. And she was covered in armor made of pure, refined alebrium. You know something? I muttered to myself, realizing I had just found out where all the metal was. That is pretty damn massive. 36. God above, I muttered, looking over at something out of a monster movie and wondering just how something like this could have stayed hidden. Sure, I knew that the Alliance hadn't been able to actively study this moon and, with the main base of the alien menace somewhere else entirely, they probably didn't see this lunar outpost as much of a threat. Still, bugs like this shouldn't have existed. A huge, skyscraper-sized beast with blade-like claws that could take out entire cities in a single swath? We should have known about them. To put it bluntly, we knew so little about the thing that the HUD could only generate a nameplate that said, Massive Unknown Akbarian. As with the leeches, there was no projected coin reward, no leaderboards, no nothing. That fact was the sole point of comfort I had here. This was something untainted by the system, unknown to the big brass and the corporations. In a way, that meant this visage of pure death was strangely pure. Still, for all that unknown, I had heard stories. We all had, of monsters so enormous they could destroy our biggest armies with a few lithe movements. That's all they were, though. As far as anyone with a working brainstem was concerned, I'd always thought that if the Akbarians had those kinds of bugs at their disposal, they would use them and take us out all at once. Or so I had rationalized to help me sleep at night. I brushed aside the fact that destroying our planet would likely destroy what they needed from it and, besides, bugs like this required more metal than anything I could have ever imagined. That alone was probably reason enough for the Akbarians not to deploy them. Whatever the truth of the matter was, this was real. There was at least one bug as tall as the tale suggested. She was the queen. She was covered in the alebrium we had come here for. And she looked pissed.
Mark, Mina said, swallowing hard.
She was still looking up at the thing, her face still white and her eyes still wide. There was no end to the sentence. It was just my name, like a plea, like a prayer. I couldn't blame her. I didn't know what to do either. How do you fight a giant? How do you stop a tidal wave, especially a tidal wave you knew nothing about? That's what I remembered what the Alliance had always said about information, about how it's more important than anything else in the universe. Annabelle, I choked out as the mantis made her way out of the earth. Stepping over the open-air roof and freeing herself from the room entirely, she stood over us now, a goddess of green horror wrapped in elemental iron. Go through the databases, all of them. Find anything you can about giant bugs, about huge-ass praying mantises, I commanded, diverting energy to my thrusters and lifting into the air. Even debunked and disproved theories. Do you understand me? I want to know anything anyone has ever said about something like this, and go back as far as you can.
Affirmative,
Annabelle said. The next voice I heard was that of Mina John, legend in her own time and, at this very moment, scared shitless. What the hell do you think you're doing? You're going to get yourself killed. We have to run. We have to go. The Alibrium, I said flatly.
Fuck the Alibrium, she cursed.
We retreat and try to stay safe until the ships get here.
Unless we strip the metal from Teela here, the queen who sent us is going to shoot those ships out of the sky. No one else gets to die here today, Mina. Promise me that.
How do you expect me to make promises to you when we don't have anything close to a plan?
I could practically hear the wheels in her head spinning. Just then, as though it was the answer to a prayer, a flood of information poured into my line of sight. Stories, myths, and old wives' tales came crashing into me, downloading themselves into my cerebral cortex and filling me with generations' worth of knowledge about what I was looking at. Most of it was nonsense. Ridiculous trappings of people who didn't know what they were talking about. But not all of it. As Teela took a swipe at me, her enormous talon cutting through the air like a jet plane on a collision course with my person, I saw something else. A man, a Marine who later graduated and became a doctor, claimed to have come across the body of something like this. The corpse was ordained with etchings and words of praise, words of reverence, as if it had been a holy monument to some ancient bugs of the distant past. Having a scientific mind, the son of a bitch cut right into it, and I'm glad he did. Now, this was before the day of recorded optic implants. Most of these sorts of sightings were, so none of what he saw was actually archived. What had been archived, though, and would have been subsequently lost to common knowledge, was a sketch he'd made of the bug and the way its anatomy was laid out. The archives remembered, though, and so I saw the sketch as well as notes and theories about how the thing worked and how best to destroy it. As with humans, the note said, the heart seems to be the epicenter of continued life. Piercing the heart should be the quickest way to destroy the creature should the awful day that it reaches our planet ever come to pass. Then, looking at the sketch again, I saw the placement of the heart, right under the neck. Of course, the bug in front of me had that part of her covered with a thick layer of olibrium. Getting to the heart wouldn't be easy. But I had an idea. I do have a plan, I said to Mina as I momentarily cut the power to my thrusters, dropping out of the way as Teela's scythe-like talons sliced through the space where I'd been. I'm not sure if it's a good one, but it's better than nothing. Get to the girls. If Jill is still alive, make sure they both stay that way and get as far away from the center of the city as possible. When this thing falls, I don't want you to be in its path.
When it falls? How on Earth?
We're not on Earth, Mina, I reminded her. Not even close. Now go and let me deal with this. I cut off our communication and turned my attention back to the matter at hand. Teela was coming at me again, her huge talons glinting in the light of the sun. This time I took a preemptive measure and twirled backward, darting out of its path. How can she see me, Annabelle? I asked. My cloaking is still up.
I'm not sure, Lieutenant Ryder, but it seems she can.
Yeah, I muttered. I know. Annabelle, cut off Alpha cloaking and distribute power to shields and weapons. Then patch me through to Della.
I'm afraid she's off hours at the moment, Lieutenant Ryder, she chimed in.
I don't give two fucks about her hours. Initiate emergency protocol and get her on my comm immediately. I knew she would still be there. Della was a workaholic. She may have been off hours, but she'd have never left the halls with a mission of hers actively running, especially a mission that had gone off the rails like this one had. I wasn't surprised when she popped into my head.
Mark, she said, what's wrong? Two ships are on their way to you now, and should be there in minutes.
It won't be enough, I stammered. There is more metal than you originally thought, and it'll have to be pulled from a corpse.
A corpse?
I knew her too well. She questioned me in that you are so full of it sort of way she usually reserved for grass-feds too big for their britches. Tap into my optic sensors, I said. Get a load of what you sent me into.
Jesus,
she exclaimed as I ran my eyes up and down Teela, giving her a full view of the monster. We found ourselves in the middle of a damn bug gang war, I explained hurriedly as I ducked another talon swipe. If we don't take this thing down,
This bitch's rival is gonna shoot our ships down in retaliation. The thing is, I need something from you to take this behemoth down.
Teela roared. The noise she made sort of like a ticking in the throat. The reverberation was some kind of natural sonic weapon. Loud and forceful enough to drown out my words and send me shooting toward the ground.
Mark, are you there? Della asked frantically.
Send four ships. I got out through clenched teeth. Keep them all out of the atmosphere until further notice. What I need in the fucking atmosphere is an unmanned bullet.
A transport ship? She balked. They're not made for retrieval or just for drop-offs. It won't be able to get you out.
I'm not using it for that. I pulled forward enough to reverse course before I crashed against the ground. Teela was moving, her jagged feet coming toward me, the huge claw tips moving right for me. She had knocked me back so I would be low enough to be skewered. I needed to move fast.
Then what are you using the bullet for? Della asked.
As a damn bullet, Della, I answered, swerving quickly and just missing the point of the foot. How long will it take to get it down here?
Expedited? She asked. They move faster than ships, so 30 seconds? Can you hold on for 30 seconds?
I looked up at the monster. I can try. I flew around the giant bug, shooting my pulse laser at it and watching as my beams bounced off its armor. It was kind of pissing me off.
Good luck, Mark, Della said. I'll get it done.
Another swipe came toward me, and as I dodged by it, I let my laser retract back into my suit. The damn thing wasn't worth a goddamn anyway. Part of me wanted to grab my warhammer and go to town on the bitch, just fly up to her stupid ugly face and smash her skull in. That would be foolish, though. While my suit might have given me increased strength, if the notes I've just read were even half true, I wouldn't be able to scratch her exoskeleton, let alone puncture her armor. Teela was still moving toward me, but she was slow. Only she was out of the hole now, and it wouldn't be long before she had directed a throng of elites to me. Still, I got the distinct impression she wanted to be the one to kill me. And, well, I wouldn't have it any other way. Annabelle, give me my robust orang and fuse it to a stun lasso, I said, cutting my thrusters again to avoid her attack. Once again, the attack passed over my head. Only this time, I didn't re-engage the thrusters. I hit the ground hard, absorbing the impact with my calves.
Fusion complete, Annabelle said as the boomerang appeared in my hand. What exactly are you planning, Mark?
Well, you know the old saying, I said, letting the boomerang fly, a glistening tail of energy shimmering behind it. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. As the boomerang arced through the air, I took a few quick steps back to give myself some distance before initiating my thrusters once more. Match speed with the rang, I said, flying after it as Teela raised her massive foot, angling to squash me like, well, a bug.
Affirmative,
Annabelle said, and I felt my speed change instantly. I darted forward after the boomerang, which veered in midair, its arc shifting to chase after me. Only as it did, Teela brought her massive foot down. I dodged, barely, but the shock wave was enough to throw me backward through the air. I hit the ground hard, stars flashing through my eyes moments before the boomerang hit the dirt beside my outstretched hand. As it did, the noose left behind the lasso tightened around the bug queen's legs. She fell backward, huge scythe-like limbs reaching out to catch herself. The massive blades buried themselves in the ground, keeping her from falling as her massive legs struggled to break the energy lasso.
Lasso failure imminent. The worst-case scenario gives you 3 seconds. Best case, 6 seconds,
Annabelle reported. But I ignored her, because I saw a moving dart glistening in the new morning sun. It was the bullet. Della hadn't let me down. Bullets move faster than ships. They aren't necessarily made to do much more than transport, so they don't need to be heavy or complicated. What they do need to be is fast enough to make our approach a surprise, and tough enough to deal with atmospheric blowback at certain speeds.
Both would come in handy right now. I took a deep breath and forced myself to my feet. "Annabelle, initiate my thrusters," I said, and as they kicked on, I flew toward the bullet. "And put on my helmet."
"Bullets in your vicinity,"
Della called in as my helmet reappeared.
"Wait, why are you heading toward it?"
"I need it to hit the heart, Della." I took a deep breath as I continued to ascend. "I need to make sure it goes to the right place. And there's only one way to do that."
"You're going to ride it,"
she said in a horrified whisper. "I'm going to ride it," I agreed.
"You can't do that," she responded. "You'll die. Even if your shields manage to hold up somehow, I'm looking at your armor's condition and upgrades now. You don't have the gravitational manipulation capacity or the strength enhancement necessary to do this. You'll drive the damn thing into the ground and take yourself out with it."
I reached the bullet and turned, activating the gravity manipulation I did have. Instantly, I slammed into the top of the thing, and with my vision still a bit blurry from the impact, I secured myself to the thing. "Then help me out," I said to Della. "Give me what I need to get this done."
"You don't have the coin for that, Ryder," she answered. "You've got nowhere near enough for this. You need at least 1 million coins of Alpha Plus bleeding level manipulation tech to pull this off."
It was true. I'd used up all my money on other upgrades. Upgrades that weren't nearly as important as this. "You going to let coin affect this, Della? Or do you want to kill a fucking queen?" I asked, swallowing hard as the bug drew near. Della was right. I wouldn't be able to do this without a boost. As of now, the bullet was aimed for the ground near Tila's feet. I needed it to get a lot higher, and I was maxed out.
"I can't issue coin," she said.
"Even for the recorded kills of unassessed creatures, you know that." "But you can issue a gift, an upgrade like you did earlier. Tell me that pulse laser didn't come directly from you."
"I had Alliance permission for that," she argued. "I can't just..."
"You can," I assured her, as the time to make my move drew near. "You can, and I need you to."
"Damn you, Ryder," she said frantically. "Just damn it all."
I took a deep breath and saw the upgrade I needed suddenly in my suit. The Gravitech generator in Annabelle was stronger now. Strong enough to pull the bullet up, to aim it where it needed to be. And hopefully strong enough to push me clear before the bullet slammed into the bug and the momentum pulled me in with it.
"Thank you, Della. You're an angel."
I pivoted the bullet to where it needed to be, shaping a gravity well to adjust for the queen's every movement.
"And you're a lost cause, but you've been that for as long as I've known you. So get your ass back here safely. The ships will be there in 15 seconds.
"Affirmative," I answered. I felt the heat of the bullet under me, felt it stay the course as it neared Tila's armor, Tila's heart. Then I heard a familiar voice in my head.
"Lieutenant Ryder,"
Annabelle said.
"Letting go now would provide you a 70% chance of surviving the force of impact."
"And what are the chances it would hit the heart if I let go now?"
43%.
"And if I held on until there was a 100% chance of taking this bitch down?"
"Then your chances of survival would plummet to 17%, I'm afraid."
"I'll take it." That old, familiar smile was forming on my lips. The smile that always crept in when I stared death in the face.
"But Lieutenant Re-"
"We've been through worse, old girl. We'll make it through this too. Just tell me when I'm at 100.
"Affirmative, Lieutenant Ryder,"
she said, and then she went silent. I watched the bug grow closer, so close that my body almost instinctively drew back. I kept it steady, though. I held strong until I heard the words.
100%, Lieutenant Ryder,"
sing through my brain like a psalm. "That's what I'm talking about," I muttered. "Have fun in hell, Your Highness." I detached myself from the bullet, pushing off with enough Gravitech energy to hopefully get clear, but not enough to mess up my aim. Throwing my body backward just as Tila broke free of the lasso. Only it didn't matter. I watched as the vessel slammed into Tila. ripping through the olibrium surrounding her and digging into her body. She screamed. A sweet, horrible, victorious scream. And then I felt the impact of the resulting explosion. The shockwave twisted my body hard, throwing me away like garbage in the wind. Pain screamed through my body, so fierce and intense, my vision went dark and spotty. No, I thought as Annabelle did her damnedest to try to right my trajectory, to keep me from slamming into the ground and turning into a broken pile of chunks. Only I didn't care about that, because the only thing I wanted was to see the queen fall. I needed to see her fall, needed to see her die, needed to know that, when this was over, the bugs would know that Mark Ryder went up against the biggest and baddest they had to offer and came out on top. I forced away the unconsciousness threatening to overtake me as I flew up through the air toward the atmospheric cap. The city was growing smaller now, a glimmer against my vision, and Teela crashed against it. As dead as poor Billy. I breathed a sigh of relief. Too weak to move. Too weak to stop myself from being thrust out into the vacuum of space. It was a good run, Annabelle, I said, though it might have just been a thought. It was a damn good run.
Yes, it was, Mark, she answered.
Wait, I muttered. Did you just call me... 37. I woke in a bed, looking up at a ceiling much like the one in the room they afforded me for being one of the Alliance Hall janitors. For a moment, I thought the entire thing had been a dream, like I had whipped it all up after inhaling too many cleaning supply fumes. If not for the ringing in my ears and an ache all over my body, I might have kept believing that. But I knew better. I knew what the scars of a completed mission felt like. I had been inflicted with too many of them, and though this mission ended a bit differently than the others I had been on, I knew what happened next. I sat up, feeling naked without my suit, and took a look around. I was back in the Alliance halls, back in a holding room for injured or incapacitated Marines. Taking stock of myself, first by eyeballing everything, then by looking in a mirror hanging on the wall, I saw that I was completely whole. 10 fingers, 10 toes. Everything that needed to dangle still dangled, and everything that needed to stay put was still put. I got out of bed and moved to the sink, ignoring how cold the metal floor felt against my bare feet. Turning on the faucet, I ran water over my face. It was cold and felt good and bad all at once. It woke me up and refreshed me, but the temperature made it feel like pinpricks across my body. Finishing that, I walked over to find a suit folded up on a chair next to the bed. It wasn't my janitor's uniform. Instead, it was a Marine's outfit, which made sense. Until I was dismissed, I was still on active duty, and since I'd been unconscious this entire time, I couldn't have been dismissed yet. Throwing the clothes on, I made sure I looked presentable enough for any pictures that might come as a result of this. Too many times had I been caught off guard, only to find an unflattering portrait of myself in display in the local papers. Making sure I had my suave on, I opened the door to find a grass-fed standing watch. "Can I help you with something?" I asked, looking at him. His eyes went wide as he took me in.
Lieutenant Ryder, he stuttered. "It's an honor, truly an honor."
"I believe you," I said, looking at him but seeing Billy. My heart broke just a little bit, but I pushed it down. "You here to escort me to debriefing?"
"Yes," he said instantly. "I'm sorry. Yes, that's what I'm here for. How did you know?"
"Because this is the 50th time that's happened to me, son," I answered, patting him on the shoulder. "Now come on. I'm sure the big boys don't like waiting." I walked to the debriefing room, making polite conversation and actually having to show my escort where to go. When we got there, I gave the boy a quick salute, and he almost peed himself with excitement.
"I'm gonna be like you one day,"
he said as he darted away. I wanted to say something in response, but I wasn't sure what that would even be. Taking another deep breath, I stepped forward and allowed the doors to open for me. The room stretched out ahead of me. A rounded table sat in the center, and the first set of eyes I saw was Della. I haven't gotten you fired yet, I asked, laughing. Not for lack of trying, she answered in a less happy tone. As I neared, the rest of the table came into view. My heart stopped for just a moment before I worked up the courage to take it in. The debriefing would be for everyone involved in the mission who had survived. So if I looked over to find the entire table empty, it would mean Mina and the girls had gone down fighting. I didn't want that. More than anything, I didn't want that. I looked over, though, to find all three of them, alive and well, sitting like goddamn superheroes at this table. It took all I could do not to cry or shout out or something stupid like that. Still, when Mina's eyes met mine, I thought I saw her blink back a bit of moisture herself. Good to see you, I choked out. Good to see all of you. Likewise, she answered, nodding. I rounded the table, looking at Claire and then at Jill. They looked the same, but different somehow. More accomplished, more secure, more impressive. 3 times the Illyrium we sent you for, Della said as soon as I sat down. That's what we retrieved from the moon planet along with valuable intelligence. There was more, I said. A leech-like bug that I had to... We know, Della said. Your suit took it upon herself to make a biological imprint of the species while it was with you. With all the information we could ever need about it, as well as samples of the Mantis Queen and valuable maps of the moon itself. Good job, old girl, I muttered, thinking of Annabelle. As for the three of you, I have to admit, I'm impressed, Della said. Things went south for you, and you rallied. There aren't many Marines who could overcome that. You've served the Alliance well. Thank you, Mina muttered, presumably speaking for her squad. And you, Lieutenant Ryder, Della said, turning to me.
I'm back to being Lieutenant Ryder now, I joked.
You've passed an extremely important milestone. She shook her head. 50 missions completed. That's quite the accomplishment.
Do I get a cake and a gold watch? I asked, leaning back in my chair.
No, you get an upgrade, she corrected. Because of your stature, you're now eligible to be a member of the 2nd Battalion, not to mention a sizable reward in coins. Top of the leaderboard and all that.
What? I asked. The covert group with access to special weaponry and a secret stash of ultimate upgrades? They haven't existed since the Alliance changed the ranking system.
They haven't, Della admitted. But they do now. At least one of them does. She winked at me. Congratulations.
She stood and headed toward the exit.
Now all of you get the rest of the week off. Lord knows you deserve it.
Della stopped as she reached the door.
You know, she said, looking back at Mina and me, the two of you make a hell of a team. You should consider getting together more often.
Mina looked over at me, smiling.
I'll consider it.
I shook my head, feeling as connected to her as I had ever felt to another Marine in my life. I bet you will. A few hours and just as many beers later, I was sitting at the bar, wondering what I was gonna do with the rest of my week off, and trying to decompress from all that had happened. Didn't have shit to do, really, or friends I really wanted to talk to. No, more than likely I'd spend my week off at this goddamn bar, drinking away every last coin I hadn't earmarked for new gear. What was worse was how little coin that actually was. While that 1,000,000-coined upgrade had been gifted, and Della had promised a big bonus for topping the Mission Complete leaderboard, the Alliance found a way to nickel and dime me as always. Suit repairs, rearming costs, and, naturally, a very mysterious 2nd Battalion infrastructure upgrade Mandatory, of course. Ate most of what I should have earned. Still, this kind of corporate shenanigans had happened too many times before. And while usually that didn't bother me, something made it seem a little pointless. After all, I'd just killed a bug queen. What else could possibly be left for me to conquer? A tap came on my shoulder, and I turned around. There she was, in an honest-to-God dress, with her hair done up and the beauty mark on her face prominent and unobscured. Mina John looked different tonight. Still strong, still fierce, but also vulnerable, open and inviting. Damn, I muttered before I could stop myself. I'll take that as a compliment, she said, smiling as she sat next to me. I'd take a drink as more of one, though. Don't have any coin left, sorry, I shrugged. Spent it all and then some on upgrades about an hour ago, well, what wasn't fleeced out of me by the Alliance. I've been getting drunk off goodwill and my reputation so far. I nodded to the barkeep. I'm sure you know what that's like. I do, she admitted. Then, reaching into her cleavage, she pulled out a coin stick, the Alliance equivalent of hard currency. But not tonight. Tonight I'm buying the drinks. She winked at me. For both of us. 3 more drinks and an hour later, I was walking Mina to her chambers. She was quiet, having lapsed into silence beside me halfway there. Something about her was different. Shy, almost. When we reached the door, she finally looked up at me. I never thanked you, she said. I never thanked you either, I said. We both saved each other's lives. Not for that, she answered, waving away my comment. That's work. She cleared her throat. When I lost my husband, I never thought there would ever be another man I could even work alongside, let alone... Her voice trailed off. Let alone what? I asked, unable to stop myself as my hand reached for her chin, pushing her face up to look at me. You know, she said, her voice trembling. Say it, I said, swallowing hard. Just say it. Her hand reached out behind me to her doorknob. She twisted and the door opened. Grabbing at my belt buckle, she pulled me closer. I want you, she whispered into my ear, her breath hot, her excitement electric. I want you, Mark Ryder. She looked up at me, pulled me into the room, and slammed the door behind us.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Doomed Infinity Marine, written by J.A. Cipriano and Connor Kressley, performed by Neil Heligers. Executive producers Rena Ayer and Mike Charzik. Producer Kat Lambrix. Copyright 2017 by J.A. Cipriano and Connor Kressley. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.